from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can always call us direct at 773-591-1690. And, of course, you can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As usual, we are engaging, empowering, connecting, and transforming veterans by being the hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. And today we have a special show. First, we want to, of course, thank our sponsors. We are proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number, 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. Also proudly sponsored by Eastlake Management and Development Corporation, 2850 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60616. The office number there is 312-842-5500. And I am, of course, the host of the show. And normally I would be telling you about all the people we have around the table, but today we have a special show because we have a number of people that are calling in on a very important issue. I do want to thank our in the studio, of course, our usual roundtable panelists is Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Doctor, how are you?
Oh, great.
Good. Good to see you. Manny Corazzani is with us. He's of course, our web social media producer, doing a great job. And, of course, also our executive producer is here, Glenda Smith. And this is our first show of the new year, so we want to wish everybody a new year, right, don't we?
Yes.
Absolutely. And today, here in Chicago, wherever you are, but in Chicago, It's almost like springtime. We have a great weather here today. But we're going to move to our guest. We've got a very important issue to discuss here, which is really something. First, I want to introduce Jonelle Alicia. She is a senior correspondent focused on aging and end-of-life issues on the Kaiser Health News Enterprise team. Before joining KHN in November 2016, she was a health reporter for more than a decade, covering regional and national news at outlets including the Seattle Times, NBCNews.com, Today.com, and NBC.com. Before that, she was reporter, editor, and columnist at newspapers in the Northwest. She was a member of reporting teams that won National Press Club Awards for digital journalism focused on the Great Recession and on amputees in the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. Jonelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Also, we are pleased to have Walter Daniel. Walter Daniel is, and you'll hear a lot about him in just a moment, he is a retired Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander. Mr. Daniel is petitioning the United States Supreme Court to overturn a portion of the Fearless Doctrine, allowing him to learn what led to the tragic death of his wife, Navy Lieutenant Rebecca Daniel, following childbirth in a naval hospital in 2014. His case has the potential to restore the legal rights of service members and their families to hold the military health care system accountable for medical errors. Now, many of you probably have no idea that they're not responsible now. This is why this is such an important issue. Himself, a second-generation military service member, retired in 2017 as a lieutenant commander of the United States Coast Guard. Throughout his career, he held positions that focused heavily on maritime operations and financial management, responsible for the budget and allocation of more than $800 million for Coast Guard operations, in addition to saving more than 40 lives and over $2.7 million in property. Mr. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us today also.
Mr. Kelly, it's an honor and privilege. Thank you very much for having me.
We certainly appreciate you. And we have his lawyer is on. We're pleased to have him, Andrew Hoyle, who is a partner of the Lavera Law Firm, the Northwest premier personal injury law firm that is nationally recognized for pursuing accountability to create positive change in corporate, governmental, and individual behavior that makes the world safer for everyone. His practice concentrates on legal issues arising from the firm's extensive trial and appeals court litigation. After graduating from Vanderbilt Law School in 1980, the counsel of practice in Tennessee for 12 years, primarily trying civil rights cases in federal court and representing the state in major litigation on behalf of the Departments of Correction and Education. In addition, he has extensive appellate experience in state and federal courts, including 3 years as a staff attorney for the Tennessee Supreme Court. Counselor, thank you also for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to air this important issue.
It is an important issue, and a lot of people, I've got to say this, I didn't know this myself, in addition to so many people who don't. And I want to start this off, Jonelle, with you, because you're the one who has really brought a lot of this on. Tell our audience exactly what you have found out relative to this issue.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason we were interested in telling this story on Kaiser Health News, which is an independent journalism organization not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. We write stories that appear in top media outlets nationwide.
Sure.
The reason that this was so compelling to us is exactly the point that you mentioned, that even active duty service members don't know that people who are injured as a result of military service cannot sue the federal government for harm. And so when Andy's firm approached us and said, hey, here's a story and here's a really compelling personal story that is leading to a challenge at the Supreme Court level, we thought we needed to tell that story.
And I'm certainly glad that you have, because that's how we found out about this. Average people don't, even people in the service, are unaware of it. I mean, it's unbelievable that this situation is as it is. Mr. Daniels, tell us, you know, I mentioned your great career and so forth, and what you have done. Give us, for those who don't know about this issue, tell us a little background here and what exactly happened to you and your wonderful wife.
Absolutely. Mr. Kelly, and thanks again for giving us this opportunity. And I'd like to give you some credit. I grew up in Philadelphia and New York, so I was around radio personalities that were the voice of our community, folks in the likes of Mr. Georgie Woods and Miss Mary Mason and Mr. Inhotep Gary Bird. So thank you for the opportunity to speak on your radio station today.
My pleasure, sir. Go right ahead, please.
And so on March 9th, my wife gave birth, Lieutenant Rebecca Daniel, at Hospital.
Pardon me a minute. Just before you do that, because you've got a great career yourself, just tell us. I mentioned it, you know, a little bit, but just tell us about your service and the things that you've done.
Yeah. I'm a 2001 graduate of Hampton University. Mm-hmm. After I graduated from college, I was stationed in Honolulu, Hawaii for approximately 8 years. I had the opportunity to serve on a Coast Guard cutter and doing counter-narcotics operations, also search and rescue. From there, I took on a few roles in financial management, managing budgets for the Coast Guard. After that experience in Hawaii, I transferred to Seattle, Washington. I was married at the time, and I served and operations there as well. And then my final duty station was in Alameda, California, where I was an executive assistant to an admiral, sort of like an aide-de-camp. And I also had the opportunity to serve as the enforcement division chief at San Francisco, one of the larger ports here in the country.
You had a great career. And how long were you in the service?
18 and a half years, sir.
Yeah, 18 and a half years. Yeah, and you did a lot of great work. That's fantastic. All right, go right ahead. You were telling us now what happened.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So on March 9th, 2014, my wife, Lieutenant Rebecca Daniel, gave birth to our healthy baby girl, Victoria Daniel. She was 8 pounds and 7 ounces. In the hours after her giving birth, she passed away at Naval Hospital Bremerton. And what we're dealing with this case is looking for accountability and transparency. I didn't know this, like you said earlier, that military members cannot sue the military for medical malpractice. Mm-hmm. So from there, I got in contact with the Laverne Law Firm and started to search for answers as to what happened. As we know, these cases are happening more in America, and especially to minority women. So I was looking for answers as to what happened. Obviously, a healthy 33-year-old woman in 2018 with our medical technology should not pass away from childbirth. So this is a search for accountability and transparency, sir.
And not only that, as you mentioned, I want to make sure that everybody heard, Mr. Daniels, you, of course, officer in the military. I want to make sure everybody understood about your wife's position. Say that again, please.
Oh, she was a lieutenant in the Navy. She was on active duty as well.
Right.
Serving as a labor and delivery nurse at the time of her death.
And wasn't she working at that location?
Yes, sir.
She was working there when she passed away at childbirth.
Yes. Yes, she actually was a labor and delivery nurse.
Wow. So they knew her, and So what happened after that, Mr. Daniels?
I would say in the coming days or weeks, I began to ask questions. As far as in the military, there's typically a root cause analysis, or there's some sort of investigation as to what happened when there's a mishap involving a service member. Our family didn't get any answers or even at least a timeline as to what happened or what would be the next steps to happen after her death. So from there, I decided to use the legal system and talk to Andy and his associates at the LaVer Law Firm to begin this quest for answers.
Now, the child was born healthily, is that correct?
Yes, sir, she was.
Yeah, yeah, and you're still, that's the only good point of this. I just wanted everybody to understand that if they missed it. But, and you couldn't get any information at all, Mr.
No,
Dane?
Sir.
And what did they tell you? I mean, you know, your wife, healthy person at 33 years of age, a officer in the military, and... You know, that just doesn't make sense. You couldn't get any. What did they tell you? Go away or what?
I mean, my God. Sorry for your loss. I've received no official correspondence from the Department of Defense or the Navy with regards to her, what happened that afternoon on Sunday, March 9th, 2014. I haven't received any information, sir.
Unbelievable. March 9th, 2014. We also thinking this half is Consular on. I mentioned him earlier. Consular, how are you today? Again,
I'm fine. How are you doing today, Mr. Kelly?
Yeah, fine, Mr. Hoyle. Thank you so much. We appreciate what you are doing. Explain. Our listeners don't know. Who knows about this? I mean, that's why I'm so glad you're carrying this on, and that's why I was so happy to tell Miss Alicia, because without you know, her bringing this up, this would just continue, and, you know, what you folks are doing is something that everybody needs to know about. Go right ahead. Tell us what's going on here.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And to echo one thing that Ms. Alicia said, service members don't know about the Ferris Doctrine. And it's surprising to me. I've had a number of calls since we filed the lawsuit and since it's gotten more publicity, where there's simply a surprise at it. But it wasn't a surprise to me. Our firm is in the Northwest. We have a lot of bases around here. We often get calls over the years from service members who have medical malpractice issues, and that's one of our specialties.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, I'm sorry, there's this Ferris Doctrine. They don't know about it, but there's this Ferris Doctrine, and you can't bring a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
When Walt came into the office and told his story about his wife, it was as though we were saying, this is just too much.
Yeah.
A young, healthy woman should not die in childbirth in 2014. And, you know, we didn't even know what the problem was, but we just knew that this was not right. And so rather than telling him, sorry, the Ferris Doctrine bars it, we decided to investigate the case. We were able to get the medical records, and we, you know, filed a complaint and all of that stuff. We luckily had somebody like Walt, who was, you know, we told him the straight out facts. There's a precedent from 1950 that keeps us from filing this lawsuit, but we're
Consular,
willing to
pardon me, Consular. Just one thing I want to make sure. Explain to people what the Ferris Doctrine is.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Ferris Doctrine prohibits members of the military from suing the government for a tort claim if it is what they call, and I'll put it this in quotations, incident to service. So, for instance, and some of this should be obvious, you know, if private gets mad at a sergeant or whatever, and, you know, or something happens, they can't sue them.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not, there is a thing called the Federal Tort Claims Act. It permits suits against the government. It doesn't prohibit these kinds of suits, but the United States Supreme Court in 1950 issued a ruling that said, even in medical malpractice cases and other kinds of cases, if it's an incident to service, we're going to bar the suit. It wasn't in the statute, but it's a Supreme Court ruling.
Wow.
And that has been the ruling for the last, you know, that's 1950, what's
1950.
We're going on 69 years now.
And so obviously we would think about this sort of thing that would mean you can't sue the government if you're in the military and, you know, you're in battle or something like that. I mean, that would make sense, right?
Right, and yeah. In fact, there's exceptions because no one can sue the military, civilian or whether you're civilian or military.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sue if the injury arises out of combatant operation.
Right, which is understandable. Yeah.
Yeah, and you also can't sue if the injury arises in a foreign country. So, for instance, when you have a situation where, you know, soldiers have been evacuated out of Afghanistan to, say, Germany, to Landstuhl or one of the medical hospital there, which only happens. You can't sue for anything that happens in there. Can't sue for Okinawa. Has to be in the United States. So there are some natural limits from the statute that you can't sue. And so, I mean, I think the analogy, and I've been asked this in oral argument, is, mm-hmm. you know, if Hawkeye commits malpractice,
mm-hmm.
you can't sue the government for it.
You.
It's a field hospital in Korea. You
I
can't
you.
Sue.
I got you. You're making a giving us some good information there. We're going to be back in a moment. This is America's Heroes Group. I'm Cliff Kelly. You haven't heard from our usual people here because they aren't here today because we've got three people that we're talking to that are giving us some great information. However, in the studio with me is Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold, who is a combat vet and who is also a doctor. And when we come back, I'm going to make sure. I know he has some questions. And we will continue in just a moment with these great people that we have on. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group. East Lake Management staff proudly extends our best wishes to our veterans, armed forces, and their family members during this holiday season. We honor their relentless courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans and appreciate their strength and commitment they bring to East Lake Organization. East Lake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Happy holidays from East Lake.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
WVON.com, the website. Check it out.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. It's Saturday, January 5th. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can also go to WVON.com. And you can call us direct at 773-591-1690, and you can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is, of course, America's Heroes Group. And you can, of course, listen to us. Normally, we would have, as most of you know, you regular listeners, which we appreciate, we would have our panel here. But we don't today have our regular panel because of the fact we have three people on our live line who are just giving us some great information. We do have one of our normal panelists here, regular panelists, I should say. They're all normal.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
we hope anyway. No PTSD among the group. But he is Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold, and he is with us, and he'll be joining us in just a moment with some comments that he has. But we just want to make sure everybody knows we have Jonelle Alicia, who is just done a great job explaining to us Kaiser Health News. And Jonelle, again, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate
it. Sure.
Absolutely. And listen, you folks join in anytime, you know. And we have Walter Daniels, of course, who is the plaintiff. And this whole story is just, oh, my goodness. And then we have the attorney, Mr. Daniels' attorney, Andrew Hoyle, and we're glad to have him. And we're going to continue right now. Consular, did you want to say, did I cut you off, or did you tell us? What?
Yeah. No, you were fine. Oh. I'm happy to answer any questions or talk, but I'll let you go right now.
Okay, all right. Doc, you want to?
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Actually, I was in the military and the Army for about 26 years and retired from that and did two combat tours in Iraq. So I was dealing with a lot of combat casualties there, and through my career, I've come into a lot of different situations where I felt that military service members should be taken care of in a better way. And I wanted to thank both Jonelle and also Walter, for coming forward and being brave enough to come forward with the case. And also to the attorney, Andrew, for, actually supporting this and making sure that this is brought to the forefront, because it's a very, very important topic. One of the things that I was running across when I was reviewing some of the information that we received was that there was a potential that there was an amniotic fluid embolism. So there were different theories that they had, but that was one of the things that they pushed forward as being a possibility. That is a pretty rare occurrence itself. And then also whether misoprostol was used, that can actually increase the likelihood of doubling the risk of AFE. So there's some unanswered questions here, exactly what type of care she received. One of the things that I... with the amniotic fluid embolism, what that can do is what it is it's a fluid that the baby swims in before it's born. And that fluid can sometimes enter the vascular system of the mother. And if it enters that, it can actually cause a cascade of events in the blood system, causing a sudden cardiovascular collapse, altered mm-hmm. mental status, mm-hmm. and a thing called disseminated intravascular coagulation, where you start forming blood clots and you start bleeding.
You in combat, what did you think about this Ferris doctrine?
Well, as far as the Ferris doctrine...
And tell us where you were in combat.
Okay, I was in Mosul, Iraq, mm-hmm. and I did two combat tours. One was with the mechanized infantry for the Stryker Brigade out of Washington State. And then also the second one was with a helicopter unit, Black Hawk helicopters, as a flight surgeon as well. That was doing cross-border missions in Iraq, taking people out of harm's way. So with seeing people with disabilities and things that arose in the military there, I felt that at the very minimum, service members should be being compensated and taken care of appropriately when they get back here. Currently we have almost 22 suicides a day, and I'm feeling that there's a failure of meeting this need within the VA system. Actually, one of the things that this case was based on that I read about was that the Daniel petition to the Supreme Court seeks to challenge the Ferris Doctrine only as it applies to medical malpractice in cases in non-battlefield situations. And, you know, with that separation, one of the things that I can ask and see if what the feelings are is whether there should be a bifurcation of the VA system itself. There's a lot of pressure now to privatize the VA, and whether these cases, because of the lack of numbers of cases, the lack of complexity of cases, that some of these people who are in these situations who are providing care have never encountered before, whether this should be privatized into the private sector and the government should cover for the as a benefit to service members the care that they would receive in the private sector, and then only for battlefield-related injuries, the VA will take care of that type of service connection. But I think that there should be some kind of compensation in this situation for those who've already been damaged by this.
Consular, you were telling us as we went to the break about the Ferris Doctrine. Respond to that. Finish telling us about that, and then respond to Dr. Arnold here.
I think Dr. Arnold has some good points, and I'm not going to get into the specifics about that, but what you do have an issue, generally, I think, and Dr. Arnold will know more about this than I do, that you don't have the breadth of cases so that when you get into a situation like what occurred with Rebecca Daniel, I don't know what happened. I do know because, and here, let me back up. Because the Ferris Doctrine is such an across the board, you're out of court, they don't allow you to do discovery. So I haven't been able to talk to the doctors, haven't been able to talk to other persons who were there who can say, here's what happened. So we don't know that. Mm-hmm. We had the medical records, and that gave us a good idea of what happened, but people have a right to say, explain their medical records. They're, you know, abbreviated. So we don't know what happened. There was the issue that the doctor was talking about the kind of an alternative possibility. And all it was in an autopsy, and it's the only thing that we got. And the problem was when you look at the autopsy, you realize this is basically a hypothetical or speculative possibility. But we don't know that. It wasn't as though they did a test and discovered definitively that this is what occurred and what killed her. They didn't do that. They made a lot of other errors. We pointed that out in our complaint. But we don't know, and that's part of what Walt is talking about in terms of accountability.
Right.
Nobody is having to stand up and say, here's what happened. Maybe they did not. Maybe it was unavoidable. But that's something that we don't know, and unless we prevail,
And without discovery, you won't know, and that makes no sense whatsoever. Well, I mean, it according to Ferris Doctrine, it does, but that's what you're fighting now, Consular. Correct?
That's exactly right.
Right.
And we attacked this Ferris Doctrine the way we did, and what the doctor is talking about, specifically in terms of medical malpractice, because quite frankly, attorneys have been attacking the Ferris Doctrine head-on for years, and they haven't gotten anywhere. And we had to do something else. And we came up with our good arguments, and at least we got the Supreme Court's attention. Because what has happened is we filed a petition. This is just how the Supreme Court works internally.
Mm-hmm.
We filed a petition.
Sure.
The Solicitor General had a month to respond. They did what they always do. They said, we're not going to respond until you ask us to do it. And so that was where it stood, and many times that's been the end of the matter. But this time the court actually did something they call a CFR, a call for response, which raises your odds considerably in getting the petition granted. So now we're waiting on the response from the Solicitor General. We haven't heard it yet. We haven't received it yet. But we will at some point because they're required to do it now. And we'll see what happens.
So that is some – I'm sorry.
Maybe I could jump in here. This is Jonelle.
Yeah, please do, Jonelle. Go right ahead.
So, so I talked to other experts who have studied fares extensively, and one expert tells me that the fact that the court asked for this CFR, this call for response, means that the petition is like 9 times more likely to be granted than if they hadn't requested it. So I know Walt and Andy are fingers crossed, hoping that the court will take on this significant case. And it sounds like they are, perhaps inclined to do so. At least it's a positive indication. And that's what makes it so so interesting for us to watch this going forward, because it has the potential to change this with an effect that could really resonate for about 1.4 million active duty service members.
Sure. And Jonelle, straight that you've gotten out this information, but what could be better, Consular, as plaintiffs than the two that you have? My goodness, two outstanding people that would have been in the military,
Mr. Kelly, I don't know what to say. You can't. I couldn't get it better.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
We knew it. It was just a matter of, we had a Longhart's Law. We've been doing this for four. Walt's wife died nearly 5 years ago.
Yeah,
he came in shortly after. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this a long time, and it's you have to work through all the steps.
Sure.
No, there is. There is no case that we could have had that was better than this.
That's right.
But, we knew it at the outset. That's why we wanted to take it, because this was, you just couldn't imagine this happening to this family. Couldn't imagine it.
Alicia, you're getting the word out, which I appreciate you doing, because that's just great. Dr. Arnold, you wanted to,
There's one thing I wanted to ask, the attorney and, also a reporter, is that, there was an article that came out in the Washington Post on November 4th of 2018 in the Health and Science section, and it was by Michael Olive. And what was reported in this article is a shocking number of U.S. women still die of childbirth. California is doing something about that. And one of the things about the data in here is that the maternal death rate per 100,000 from 206 to 2013 in California, the death rate in 2006 went from 16.9 down to 7.3 in 2013, a 55% decrease. But in the United States overall, the actual maternal death rate is going up. It went from, in 2006, 13.3 per 100,000 to 22. So it's almost 3 times in the national average of what's happening in California. And one of the things that California was doing through the health department was actually pushing to make sure that all these services were connected, that you had providers, you had people who were in different specialties sitting around a table, and also the advocacy groups pushing to make sure that the adequate training was going on. And they were estimating at least half of the deaths that were that had occurred were actually preventable. So in the general system, if you were in the general public, in the civilian population, and this happened to a person, a woman who was going through childbirth who died in that process, there would be a whole different response from the legal system and from the society as a whole, correct?
I'll answer yes. And I'm glad you raised that, because, again, that gets back to the – what I would like to say is, here's what happened in our case, but we don't know, and that's part of the issue. I had read the familiar with the press reports about the increase in maternal deaths, and just as a layperson, I do this work, but I'm still a layperson. It did seem likely that it was a lack of training on these, unusual case, something that can get out of hand, because it is childbirth. It's not, it's not a game.
Right.
And so people do need to be properly trained for this.
And the issue of postpartum hemorrhage, which is what we're talking about in the case of Lieutenant Daniel, there is some evidence from a previous study that that those rates are higher in military hospitals, and that's one of the issues.
Yeah.
Because if they're not being held accountable for medical errors, in the same way. Those are issues that continue.
And Jonelle, the lieutenant worked there, right? She
Right. That was one of the most, I mean, this whole story is,
yes.
is so heartbreaking that Lieutenant Daniel and Walt will tell us that she was known as Milani, worked on the floor where she was having her baby, and her colleagues were part of the crew. And yes. it seemed when Walt tells us that things were going well until they didn't. And that's what is so chilling and awful about it. A healthy 33-year-old woman, you know, just having a baby and dying within 4 hours. It's just, you know, we should be able to know what happened in a case like this.
I want to hear, because we keep talking about the issue and the person who's with us. Mr. Daniels, tell us whatever you'd like to say, because I know you have so much to, you know, the impact that this has to have on you. Thank goodness you do have the baby, but my goodness, you know, what you've had to go through and are continuing to. Tell us how you feel and what's going on.
I just like to say that this fight is not for, partly it's for the Daniel family and Moani's family, but it's also for service members throughout the world.
Right.
Our men and women raise their right hand to protect this country, and the fact is, in my opinion, that they deserve the same standard of health care that the average citizen does. And I will argue that they deserve more.
I would,
too.
So,
yeah. Agree. Agree. Yes.
This is just, this is a simple, basic human right. And it's a fight for mothers as well. I wouldn't want anybody to go through what we've gone through this horrible tragedy. So I've taken this on, not just for my family, but for mothers all around the world. To see maybe it's better training, better education, maybe a different standard operating procedure that needs to be implemented. But no one should have to go through this. So this is why I'm so passionate about this, and that's why we've teamed with Jonelle and Andy and his associates to try to make a change. And if it sounds like we may, if things work out, go as far as the Supreme Court, I have faith in God and faith in myself that what will be decided will be favorable, not just for us, but for everybody and women all around the world.
Well, I think that's great because, you know, it's so, as I said, as a veteran and when I heard it, and I'm sure many, many other people wouldn't even think of anything like this was the case, you know, the Ferris Doctrine and so forth. But I'm just glad, I'm sorry that the Daniels family had to obviously go through this, but with you folks, you know, constantly, you're doing a great job on this, and Jonelle has gotten the word out, and you folks are doing a great job on this. You know, how in the heck, because I can't say what I really want to, you know, but you know, people that are giving their lives to this
country.
Right, and you know, and it's just, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even believe it.
That's right.
And let me say this, too. We would normally get calls, but we're taking no calls today on America's Heroes Group, which is something we always do. But because we have all three of these individuals who have been giving us great information,
yeah.
and, of course, we have our regular panelist, Colonel Damon Arnold, who is a MD, who is a doctor, right. and obviously that's the reason he's here. But this is we're going to follow this. Yeah, go right ahead, Doc.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I wanted to add to that is that, you know, we have a military that is really very, very sophisticated. And we have I have good, very good friends in the Coast Guard, so go Coast Guard.
Yeah.
I know you don't get enough credit, but you protect us every day. But this thing with the military is that we have weapon systems, nuclear systems. We have submarines. We become so entrenched in technology and being able to deliver things. Why don't we have that same focus or that same capability when it comes to taking care of our service members? It just astounds me that we don't put the same kind of initiative and discipline and focus and making sure things are done by protocol behind taking care of our veterans that we do with taking care of our missile systems. There's just something wrong with that type of orientation. And I just want to thank you again, for Lieutenant Commander Daniel, for your service to the country and for your wife's service to the country, too. Right. We're a better place because of people like you. And I know your daughter, Victoria, Moani, and Kiala, Daniel is having her birthday on the 9th of March, so we want, hopefully we'll be having you call in. We'll have a special shout-out to her on that day, on her birthday on the March 9th.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Dr. Arnold. And once again, this is tragedy, but this is a tragic situation. But we have received just support and obviously thoughts and prayers for from people all around the world. I've received comments on Facebook and just through other venues or media outlets, people just really fighting for this. And other people have gone through the same thing. So we are championing this fight. Not for us, but for all our brothers and sisters in arms, regardless of race. Everybody that deserves adequate health care. It's basic. It's basic health care, and something needs to change.
Well, I'm sorry that it had to happen this way, but you've done so much on this, Mr. Daniels, and, you know, we're all praying for you, and you've got some great folks working with you. Jonelle, I want to thank you for giving us all this great information because you've really kept it up in the front, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
And Consular, Mr. Hoyle, keep us informed, please, will you? Okay?
I will. Thank you very much for having us on.
Right, and thank to all three of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be following that. That's going to be great. Yeah, absolutely. And let's go now and get the latest from our executive producer, Glenda Smith.
Once again, Happy New Year to all our listeners. We appreciate you all supporting us throughout the first show we ever had, which was April 2016. And so, once again, Happy New Year to all. Please feel free to call America's Heroes Group regarding any issues dealing with housing, social services, wellness care, at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. You just finished listening to us on Facebook Live. Please make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected and you will receive future notifications regarding any shows, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, and their family members. We're so grateful to our partner, Ms. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Crusader. You can read the Chicago Crusader's articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members online at www.chicagocrusader.com. To subscribe to Chicago Crusader's weekly column, Voices, with Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, please call Chicago Crusader at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com and request a subscription. So, wonderful year. We're looking ahead to some very exciting things. You guys, please feel free to go to our website, www.americasheroeshg.org, and make comments regarding any future shows, any concerns that you may have regarding issues that we're not addressing, because we've created this platform for you, veterans, you armed forces, you family members, to have your voice that speaks directly to your power regarding what you want addressed. So please feel free. We're here. That's why this show is on every Saturday. It's for you and you only.
Okay. Well stated.
Thank you.
And Les, of course, great job by our technical producer,
Isaac
Taylor.
Yes.
Hey, Isaac.
Yes.
As usual, doing a great job.
Well, Dr. Arna, close us out regarding the significance of this case in terms of the precedents that it will set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the most important thing is that I hope the Supreme Court takes this case
seriously.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know Scalia gave a very good dissent in the initial court case that happened previously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had a 5-4 decision. But, you know, we need to make sure that we treat our veterans, and I think Lieutenant Commander Daniel put it in a really good light. He said we need to treat them as good or better than what we have treated other people. When you put your hand up and you say you're going to defend a nation, right. Mm-hmm. The nation should be defending us here at home, too.
Yes.
And the families and the children, the children that they give birth to, who knows what this girl is going to become, their yes. daughter. She could right. become the next president
That's
of
true.
The United States. We
Absolutely.
Don't know. So, but all the callers, I'm missing all the callers calling in, so they're going to call them next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, you will.
They're probably sitting at their phones right now waiting.
Or they can go to our website and leave a comment or question right. or concern.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Right.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank
Talk
you.
To you next weekend. Have a blessed weekend.
Okay, Victoria.